discovering stories of courage, determination, and hope. Welcome to Faith Radio's On the Road. Now, here's Ryan Thomas.
Life is short, I want to live it well. One life, one story to tell. Life is short, I want to live it well. And you're the one I'm living for.
For over two decades, he's been the lead singer of the beloved band Switchfoot. Now, John Foreman has just released his one-of-a-kind new feature film, 25 in 24, which follows his journey of playing 25 shows in 24 hours in his hometown of San Diego. We go on the road with this chart-topping, faith-filled singer-songwriter and ask him how he came up with the concept for what is a decidedly unorthodox movie.
Yeah, it might not be that good of an idea. I mean, it's one of those things that if it sounds absurd, it's because it is. I often will play music after a Switchfoot concert. We'd finish our set and the encore and everything, and I'd still have more songs left in me. And so I'd go out back into the parking lot or coffee shop or wherever was open, and I would play more songs, you know, whether it was a Bob Dylan cover or something else. And I love the egalitarian community that it would form, where everyone's kind of on the same level. And the idea that music has this ability to break down walls and friendships form and communities form. And I thought to myself, man, this is amazing. What if I could do this all around my hometown of San Diego? What if I could create a day of song, you know? And so that's what we did. We played the Children's Hospital. We played my old high school with the band, the high school band. We played a wedding. We played a Mexican restaurant with a mariachi band. It was wild. And it was, and some friends of mine filmed it, and they put together this really compelling movie. And my hope and prayer is that this movie would inspire people to dream, and that community would kind of be a byproduct of this film as well.
I read that you had to investigate certain issues which are inherent to trying to do 25 shows in a 24-hour period, like sort of solving the traffic patterns in San Diego and then just remembering the lyrics, right, to 75 different songs. How did you sort of combat these issues?
Yeah, we went in, we were pretty, I mean, if you know me, I'm not very by the book. And so we definitely tried to be as by the book as we could and tried to be as, you know, put our planning hats on. And I actually mapped out every song for the specific location and time of day that we'd be playing it, because I wanted the song to match the mood. And I also had my friends, some of them who flew in from around the country. I'd different people that would join me at different spots throughout the night to make every location unique. So I had, I got a motorcycle accompanying me now. but I had, you know, people from all over the world that happened to be available and flew in for it. So, you know, cellos and trombones and my friend from India playing the sarangi, which is an Indian instrument, and my mom playing the pipe organ. It was a wild ride. It was beautiful.
Oh, my word. Well, yeah, that is a pretty good reason right there to see the film. And johnforeman.com, is that the best place to go to take a look? I know it's available on video on demand all over the place.
Yeah, I think johnforeman.com probably knows more than I do. But yeah, I know it's on iTunes and Amazon as well.
You know, I can't help but notice, I mean, reading up on the film, reading up on you, and just hearing you talk for the past 5 minutes, a community is so important to you. What is this passion for community? Where does that come from?
Well, I feel that meaning and purpose only come to life when we are in the context of community. You know, for me to sing a lyric, it comes to life. It comes to existence as it enters your ears and, you know, paints pictures, tells stories, you know, and it's in that interaction that art begins to have a higher purpose than simply some form of monologue, you know, where I can play guitar by myself in a room, and certainly there's a prayer aspect to that that's beautiful, but when it begins to enter into a communal setting, something really beautiful takes place, and that's what I love about music, and that's kind of why I do what I do, is the idea that music breaks down barriers and breaks down walls and is a vehicle to express kind of a conversation on topics that are implausible to talk about any other way, you know, whether it's God, death, politics, girls, all the things I don't understand, right? So music becomes this bridge to be able to go places that I can't go any other way. Mm-hmm. And community is one of the most beautiful byproducts.
That's tremendous. Mr. John Foreman has for 20 years been the lead singer of the much beloved band Switchfoot and just released his new one-of-a-kind film 25 in 24, chronicling his journey of playing 25 shows in 24 hours. JohnForeman.com for all the information. Now, I can't resist asking you about this. 20 years since the debut record, The Legend of Chin, and late last year, you gentlemen announced an extended break for Switchfoot for the foreseeable future. Just first off here, by the way, your idea of relaxation and recuperation with a film release and a national tour sounds a whole lot more productive than mine does, brother.
Oh, man. I think the film, we've been waiting to put it out for a while, and it just felt like the right time. That's not as relaxing as I'm hoping for maybe in the foreseeable future. I'm really, really excited to be home with my family, and that happens at the end of this tour, so that's going to be great.
That's tremendous. Well, and you know how it is. I mean, fans tend to worry about these things. Not so long ago, we were told DC Talk was taking an extended hiatus, and it's lasted for 15 years. Is there any reason for us to start weeping uncontrollably at this point?
Oh, man. I think that we have this illusion of static entities that somehow bands or buildings or mountains are fixed. And it seems like they will never change. And then they change. And I mean, the fact is, you and I and planets and solar systems and stars, we all have a shelf life, you know? And yeah. So I'm not saying that this is the end of Switchfoot, but for me, I just to address the idea of weeping uncontrollably, for us, this is this beautiful celebration of the past 20 years. The fact that we're all still alive, we all still love each other, we love playing music with each other, and we love the memories and the legacy that we have been able to be a part of. And so this is, like, for me, that's the way I see this, is just as a complete gift that we can take this time to be with our families. And who knows, maybe in the future we can make music together again. But for me, Switchfoot's always going to be around. Switchfoot is the friendship and the community that we've had for the past 20 years, and that doesn't go away.
Yeah, that's well said. You talk about the legacy. I mean, so many of us are just floored by what you guys have been able to do through your songs, because your love for God just jumps out of so many lyrics. I mean, it's just dripping with it. And yet the stories that you tell and the pictures that you paint are just so excellent. I mean, they've given you this audience that's so far beyond church walls. Is that in some way, did you set out to do that 20 years ago, or did you just sort of look back on it in awe of what God has been able to do?
Oh, man. My aspirations as a, I think we were 18 when we first started. you know, I the dream was to graduate college and enjoy playing music, you know, and one of those has happened. And it wasn't the graduating college bit, you know. So I think, I mean, we take ourselves really lightly, and I'm thankful to look back on what has happened, but I absolutely can claim zero credit. You know, I think all of the best moments, the best songs, the best decisions have come through surrender rather than this grasping or reaching. And, you know, I'm an ambitious guy. I love to try and find and do and conquer. But I think the best songs have come to me rather than me chasing after them.
Wow. Wow. That's really deep, man. You know, it's so interesting. You describe it that way. You start this as, you know, really just a kid at 18 years old. I imagine that you have grown in some ways that you probably never imagined that you would. I know it's kind of a deep, maybe sort of an esoteric question, but when you think about how God has grown you over these 20 years, what are some of the things that come to mind?
Oh, man. I think, well, first of all, I think that oftentimes we look at celebrity or people on stage as somehow other than human or somehow more important. And I just have to start by saying that's not the case. Like, I don't feel like the growth that I've experienced or anything has been somehow different than any other 18-year-old kid who's now, you know, 20 years down the line. So for me, I do feel really fortunate. I mean, I just feel thankful to look back and think, man, these are dreams that I couldn't even have dreamt when I was 18, you know, winning a Grammy, making 10 albums of Switchfoot, like all these things. The funny thing is the things that I'm the most proud of are just little moments that have happened along the way that have nothing to do with the stage. Uh-huh. I think we do this event called the Switchfoot Bro-Am, and that event is probably the thing that we're most proud of. It helps out homeless kids in our hometown. And so those are the things that ironically are the big fist bumps and high fives more than like a Grammy or platinum record or something like that.
Well, there it is. You hear the heart of the talented musician, Mr. John Foreman. For 20 years, the lead singer of the beloved band Switchfoot, and just released his new one-of-a-kind film, 25 and 24, chronicling his journey of playing 25 shows in 24 hours. The website, one more time, johnforeman.com. If people want to learn more about you, want to follow you, are there any other places you recommend? Or johnforeman.com, you say it does more than you do. Is that just the place to go?
I do stuff on Instagram and Twitter and Facebook and all that. The website, johnforeman.com, is probably a good place to start.
Man. Well, brother, what a treat it has been to talk with you. I was a little concerned that as a longtime fan, I would just try to start spouting lyrics at you. And so I'm really glad that didn't happen.
No, you did a great job. Thank you for a great interview.
Hey, thank you, brother. God bless you and keep up the tremendous work, okay?
Hey, thank you. God bless you, too. This is home. Now I'm finally where I belong. Where I belong. Yeah, this is home. I've been searching for a place of my
Well, there are a few names which mean more to fans of Christian music over the last three decades than the Newsboys. The phenomenon stretches all the way back to 1985 Australia. And this spring, the gentlemen are celebrating their legacy of great music and changed lives with the Newsboys United Tour. featuring longtime band favorites Peter Furler and Phil Joel joining the current Newsboys. Mr. Jeff Frankenstein mans the keyboard, at times the bass guitar, and backing vocals for the legendary CCM recording artists, and he heads on the road with us today to share how life is treating the boys on the road and what this special tour has been like.
It's going great. We just kicked off this tour a couple weeks ago, and it's been a lot of work leading up to it. We've been talking about doing something like this for over a year, and I personally started prepping for it back in October. And so to finally see it all come together, I think in a tour like this, we didn't really know what the reaction was going to be from fans or who was going to come out or all that kind of stuff. We thought it would be cool, but honestly, we've been overwhelmed at the response. And so far, every single show has just been packed, sold out. So it's been a lot of fun and full of surprises, and mostly good surprises.
So how did the idea for this kind of come to pass?
It was really interesting. I hadn't talked to, Phil had been gone from the band for 12 years and Peter for almost 10. And I hadn't really spoken a ton with Phil since he had left. And Peter, I had seen him, we'd seen at shows, and he was playing, festivals and shows. So we'd see him every now and then. But you know how it is, we're doing on the road like 200 days a year, so your paths don't cross that often. And Phil and I actually, we crossed paths just by accident in Vegas one day. And he was flying home, and I was flying home from a show, and we sat next to each other on a plane and talked and whatever. And so our, we kind of got back in touch a little bit, and our, his kids were babysitting my kids and all that kind of stuff. And then, Peter got involved in a song that we did last year called Cross is the Final Word. And so that kind of put us back in touch with him as he was writing that song and all that kind of thing. And our manager kind of had the idea. He was like, man, would it be time maybe to do a tour like this? And but it was kind of overwhelming, the thought of it, because it's been 10 years with Michael and all those songs and all that stuff we hadn't even really touched in forever. So we all got back in a rehearsal room back in January and started going through it all, and it felt really good. So it's a cool tour. It's a lot of songs. It's like 30 songs total, and I'm on stage for every single one of them. So a little bit for everybody from all different eras of the band, and it's been really cool to see. I've been kind of overwhelmed just talking to fans before the shows and all that, just with the just been grateful. I think a lot of us are just, everyone's got a story, I remember this song and this touched me in that era and this year, and I was going through this. And, without doing a tour like this, we never would have heard those stories. And so I'm really grateful for that. And it's been really encouraging to me as personally.
I can only imagine. I mean, it's so, so fascinating because, many bands have legacies, of course, but oftentimes those bands are legacies of the individuals that are currently there, sitting in the seats, making the music themselves. You have all of these eras as the Newsboys, right? I mean, devotees, no, this goes all the way back to 1985 Australia.
Yeah.
What is it like to be part of something that you can hear with those stories that's even bigger than the gentleman on the stage on any given night?
Oh, it definitely is bigger. I mean, I think if you look at the big picture of this band, and I've been in it for almost 25 years, it's one of those things where it's always been greater than the sum of its parts, and it's always had a spirit about it. So, that never changes. I think for us as people, we live in a society that's really divided right now. So I think for a bunch of guys to kind of lay down, not that there's that many differences between us all. Obviously, we're all, we've grown up together and had our ups and downs. But to put that aside, come together and just, get back on stage together, it feels really good. And hopefully that's kind of an example that, will stand out in the kind of the world that we live in.
Oh, that's very well said. I think of I mean, your time with this band going all the way back to the early 1990s, right?
Maybe.
First of all, can you share for anybody that maybe doesn't know how you came to be a newsboy?
Pretty funny. I mean, I met Peter back in 1993, and I was actually the runner at a show. A friend of mine was promoting a Newsboys concert in a gym right nearby where my family lived in Michigan. And so my promoter friend knew that my mom had just bought a minivan and thought that it would be great to drive the band around and to run their errands during the day. And that's how I met Peter. And we had just bought the same keyboard. I was playing keyboards in Michigan. And so we talked about that a little bit, and I didn't think much of it.
Sure.
And I got a call to my house about 3 months later. I was coming home from a class in college, and my mom said, this guy with a weird accent called the house. He wants you to call him back as soon as he can. And sure enough, it was Peter. And he said, man, we remember you, and we're in need of a keyboard player. Our guy just left, went back to Australia. And he said, can you do it? And I said, sure. And it just turned out that they were playing in Michigan that weekend on the other side of the state. So I stayed home from school for like 5 days and learned all the songs. Went out there and sound checked with the band. And after the sound check, they said, oh, why don't you just play for the show tonight? And I didn't even know half the guys' names or anything like that. First show in front of like 2,000 people. And I went home and told my mom what had happened. And I said, I'm going to be moving to Nashville. And I went to... dropped out of college like the very next morning and hopped in my car, drove to Nashville, jumped on another bus and did like 280 shows, cities in 1 year. And that was in 1994. Kind of crazy.
Oh, that is a crazy, crazy story. The man whose name is Jeff Frankenstein is with us today. He mans the keyboard, the bass guitar, and the vocals for the legendary CCM recording artists, the Newsboys. Well, and it's an interesting and kind of fascinating reality, too, because you do have so many famous faces who have departed. And then I suppose, in a way, you have to sort of find a new identity when that happens. Is the word reinvention a fair description of what that is, or is it more organic?
Yeah, no, it's both at the same time. I think... as a band, we've never just wanted to be kind of complacent where we were. And a lot of bands get that way. And I think that's the crazy thing about why anybody would even want to be in the music industry. It's like willfully taking a dead-end job unless you figure out a way to ignite people again and give them a reason to be excited about your music. And it's tough sometimes, but that's the reality of it. And so I think for all of us in this band, the reason that we've been around for so long is that we've settled for less, and even though we're in a Christian music industry that doesn't have the big budgets and all of that of mainstream music. And, it's not like you go to our show and there's a massive amount of corporate sponsorship. Nobody really wants to touch us. But we've managed to be able to put on a show that looks as big or as poppy as as any show out there. And have really taken pride in making it as excellent as possible. And so I think fans that come to the shows, they don't necessarily see all the numbers that get crunched behind the scenes. They just notice that it's different than any other show they see. And so we've always taken pride in that because, there's a spiritual part to that too, because God, gives you those talents and abilities. And I think especially in our culture now, it's like it gets squandered so quickly. We have access to all the tools, and they're all so cheap if you're a creative person. But unfortunately, we get distracted with like social media and all that kind of stuff, and those talents that God's given us kind of get snuffed out. So, that's just an encouragement from Uncle Jeff there, I guess.
It's a great word for all of us in a fascinating window into what it is to do what you do as well. Mr. Jeff Frankenstein, the keyboards, the bass guitar, and vocals for the legendary CCM recording artists, the Newsboys. If people do want to follow you, and you do have some very entertaining social media comments to make, even though I see it's been a while since you've tweeted.
Yeah, I've been working, and I've got three little kids under the age of 8, so I've tried to keep the phone down. But I am on Twitter. Yeah, you can hit me up there, and I do check it from time to time. But yeah, you know how it is. You just you go through seasons with things, and with I think there's been someone in my house with diapers, not including me, for at least 8 years. So been trying to give the family the most of the attention whenever I'm around. But yeah, I'm on there every now and then. I'll try to post more now that you've convicted me.
Well, and I definitely won't follow up on that, not including me statement either. Jeff Frankenstein, what a blast to talk with you, sir. It was a real pleasure.
Thank you, Ryan. All the best to you guys. We'll see you real soon.
Thanks for sharing in the story of this latest episode of Faith Radio's On the Road. For more on today's conversation and the full podcast archive of all our episodes, look for On the Road when you visit myfaithradio.com.